I'm Tony Hendra.
And I'm Jeff Kreisler.
And this is the final edition Radio Hour.
30 minutes of sizzling satire with teeth.
Do you like bacon?
Sure, sometimes.
Then
but...
come on and get your big, beefy bacon burger at Burger Busters. You get bacon, cheese, more bacon, a big, beefy burger containing bacon, cheese again, and two big bacon buns. Then you'll wash it down with bacon cola and a side of fried cheese with bacon.
Do you have anything vegetarian?
Sure, we have Thai salad with papaya and lime juice and bacon. It comes with a side of bacon orange juice and a bacon blueberry smoothie and bacon ice cubes and bacon Canadian bacon.
What if I don't want bacon?
Too bad! By order of the U.S. Congress, all food must now contain bacon!
What?
That's right! They couldn't pass filibuster reform, but they passed this!
This is a nightmare!
So come on down to Burger Busters for your federally mandated diet of bacon! Eat the goddamn bacon!
Last Monday at 7:36 p.m. Greenwich Mean Time, ex-Prime Minister Margaret Thatcher died of a stroke. Within minutes, impromptu parties broke out all over the UK, from Glasgow and Liverpool in the north to East London's Brixton in the south. As ordinary working people poured into the streets to celebrate the death of one of the most hated women in modern English history.
Good riddance, Attila the Hun.
Ding dong, the bitch is dead.
Ding dong, the bitch is dead. The witch is bitch, the bitch is bitch.
But what of the Iron Lady herself? Our afterlife investigative unit, headed up by Stone Peck, has that story.
Within seconds of her stroke, Maggie Thatcher's immortal soul was on its way to its inevitable destination, hell. But she'd hardly passed through the fiery gates when something happened that has never happened in the long, long, possibly infinite history of the nine circles of fire, brimstone, and torment. A truly wicked soul was rejected. A spokesman for Satan said the Dark Lord of the Underworld had no comment, but his Director of Infernal Affairs, Beelzebub, was on the scene. Beelzebub, just what caused this extraordinary decision?
Stone, we were really, really excited to be getting Mrs. Thatcher. I mean, here was a world-renowned monster who, in her own country, had robbed tens of millions of the poor blind, at the same time making the rich hundreds of percent richer than they ever dreamed of being. All while saying it was the rich she was really fighting. Brilliant. Then spreading these marvelously, wonderfully vile and cruel policies to Europe, to Japan, to Asia, to Latin America, and to the U.S., through her boyfriend Reagan and his minions. So now hundreds of millions of poor people all over the planet were being robbed blind by tiny ruling classes of pornographically wealthy people. What not to love? She made Messalina and Madame Mao look like little girls who told a fib. We couldn't wait for Maggie, a global celebrity of rapacious greed and vicious classism, a bona fide star of evil.
So what happened?
Well, she came through our gates of fire with that voice blaring away.
I suggest you be ready to move beyond the present position to the creation of a European monetary fund.
Speechify a mile a minute. She's going to shake this place up. There's too many demons per soul. Don't forget, these are ordinary hard-flogging and hard-spearing demons. She's going to fire two out of every three demons. What? How can you fire someone in hell? Now she's going to privatize all nine circles, sell them to separate consortiums so they'll run at a profit? Release all the lawyers in the eighth circle to work out the details. What? Where's the fun in that? We'd go crazy down here without them to taunt.
So who made the decision to fire her?
Our eternally damned advisory board. Saddam, Mother Teresa, Sweeney Todd, Eva Braun, Pol Pot, Ronald Reagan recommended she be cast forth from hell for all eternity. Like Ronnie said,
"Well, if she stays, abandon hope are we who have entered here."
So what becomes of Mrs. Thatcher now? Earth doesn't want her back.
Simple. She's condemned to wander the dark and trackless wastes of space for all eternity. Utterly alone, ignored, unloved, unheard, irrelevant, and despised, till time is no more. And then some.
Monetary policy at all. It was really about a backdoor to a federal Europe. A federal Europe taking many, many democratic powers away from democratic electors.
So there we have it. Our exclusive afterlife story. Thatcher dies, goes to hell, hell spits her right back out.
You're listening to the Final Edition Radio Hour.
Well, we all have a face that we hide away forever, and we take them out and show ourselves when everyone has gone.
Ever know what someone was going to say before they even said it? Hey, maybe a psychic! I'm Al Cassino, and today on All Things Long Island, we're joined by Teresa Caputo, star of the TLC show Long Island Medium. Thanks for joining us.
The pleasure is mine.
So, Teresa, can you tell us when you discovered your psychic abilities?
I first realized my psychedelic powers in 2010 when I predicted that I would, in fact, have chicken parm for dinner. And I did.
Impressive.
Yes. I just get these hunches, you know? For example, pick a number between 1 and 10 and visualize it in your brain noodle. Do you have that number?
I do.
What is that number?
6.
That's exactly what I thought it was.
Powerful stuff, Teresa. And now you have your own TV series in which you approach strangers in the grocery store, tell them intimate details about their lives, and relay messages from their dead relatives until they cry.
That is correct. Al, I have just written the answer to a question that has not been asked yet on this piece of paper. I'm giving it to you for safekeeping. I'll tell you when the time is right to open it.
You got it. We're going to the phone lines now. Lance from Massapequa Park, you're on with the Long Island Medium.
Hey, Teresa, I'm a big fan.
Okay, Lance, you recently celebrated a birthday in the last year, is that correct?
Yeah, that's right.
Now, Lance, you had a great, great, great grandfather. Am I on the right track here?
Yeah, you are.
And he is, unfortunately, no longer with us.
No, he's not.
He has a message he wants me to give you, Lance. You know that thing that you have been worried about?
Yeah.
Don't be. I think you know what that means.
Thank you. That's what I needed to hear. You know, it's been a rough time lately. Been doing stuff and things I shouldn't be doing and thinking about and other stuff. And things, you know what I'm saying? And now I don't have to kill myself.
Thank you, Lance from Massapequa Park. Next caller, Dennis from Long Beach. You're talking to the Long Island Medium.
Hi, Teresa. I'm calling because I was recently diagnosed with inoperable brain cancer and a rare form of malaria.
I know.
But how did you...
It's a gift. Now, Dennis, at some point in your life, you lost someone.
When I was in fifth grade, my golden retriever was hit by a Chevy.
His name began with the letter of the alphabet?
It did. W for waffles.
He is here with me right now, Dennis. He wants me to tell you. Your inoperable brain cancer and that other thingy? Don't worry about it. I think you know what that means. Your kids are going to be just fine.
I don't have kids.
No?
No.
Al, open that piece of paper. What does it say?
It says no. Oh, my God.
Oh, my God.
I rest my case.
There it is, folks. That's all the time we have this week. Join us next week on All Things Long Island when we discuss the subtleties between the Cheesecake Factory in Ronkonkoma and the Cheesecake Factory in Jericho.
Sing us the song, you're the piano man. Welcome to the Supremes, the final edition Radio Hour's look at the highest court in the land. Joining me are three Supreme Court justices, Clarence Thomas, Antonin Scalia, and Elena Kagan. All eyes are on you and your colleagues as you hear arguments for and against gay marriage. Where do you stand on this issue, Justice Kagan?
No-brainer. I'm in favor of it.
Justice Thomas?
I don't know. I might be in favor. I might not be.
And Justice Scalia?
Well, I'm an asshole!
Fair enough. Justices, 40 states currently don't allow same-sex marriage, but 49% of the American people say they support it. Is this an idea whose time has come?
I believe that marriage is only legal between one asshole and another asshole.
I think one partner can be an asshole, but the other can be an assistant in his office.
Can you believe I have to rule on constitutional law with these dipshits?
I'm not a dipshit. I'm an asshole.
You're in a position to give millions of people freedom they've never had. To become full members of society, to become part of the American dream. How does that make you feel?
Same-sex couples contribute to society the same as anyone else and should get the same benefits and social standing. Gay marriage doesn't threaten straight marriage.
Well, let's say I was married to a gay woman and I went up to her and said, "Who put a pubic hair in my Coke?" It might not go over as well as it did with a straight woman.
Justice Thomas, you can't marry a gay woman.
I'm saying hypothetically. I know I'm already married to a woman who violates ethics.
Justice Thomas, a straight man can't marry a gay woman.
Isn't that what we're trying to decide?
Look, I'm an asshole. He's the dipshit.
Same-sex marriage is legal in Connecticut, Iowa, Maine, Maryland, Massachusetts, New Hampshire, New York, Vermont, Washington, and the District of Columbia. Will you be looking at the experience of those states?
There are also state laws against masturbation, adultery, fornication, prostitution, and obscenity.
What does that have to do with anything?
I don't know. It sounds good. What, are you the only one who can list things?
He's an asshole.
Finally, we agree on something!
Justice Kagan, who put a pubic hair on my Coke?
He does this every day.
See, I don't think it would work as good if she were gay.
How do you geniuses ever get around to judicial review?
We have a Chief Justice!
My wife takes money from the Heritage Foundation.
I wait for them to fall asleep.
From all of us at the Final Edition Radio Hour, stay constitutional.
The Final Edition Radio Hour now takes you to the White House, where President Barack Obama has called a special news conference regarding the issue of the domestic use of drones.
Ladies and gentlemen, I call this conference today in order to clear up the recent reports that I have the authority to use drones in a domestic capacity. I know that many of you are thinking that I, the President of the United States, would never use drones to attack his own people, especially in the United States. Well, let me assure you, it's true. The president has got his hand on the joystick of drones, and Barack Obama is going to do some droning. Questions?
Mr. President,
you can't be serious.
Oh, I am serious. I have control of the drones now, and rest assured, droning is going to happen.
Mr. President.
Surely, sir, you don't mean that you are literally in control of the drones?
Oh, yes, I do. Listen, people, as you know, all throughout my first term, Republicans were a pain in the ass regarding passing any damn thing. So what did I do? Spent hours playing Call of Duty. I have become a master of double analog. And what is controlled by double analog? That's right. The dudes in Call of Duty and drones. I'm droning, ladies and gentlemen, and daddy-like.
So, sir, who gets droned?
Oh, it's simple. Domestic terrorists. Select hate groups. And the Republicans.
Sir, you can't just go after the opposing party because they didn't agree with your policies and voted them down.
I'm in charge of the drones now. Yes, I can. Folks are gonna get droned.
This is pretty scary, sir.
People, is it any scarier than the Patriot Act? Under the Patriot Act, I can come into your home, call you a terrorist, and start waterboarding you immediately. I would even let Vice President Biden hold you down. That's his thing.
But, Mr. President, don't you think your personal control of an unmanned killing machine is a tad bit excessive?
That's a good question. You know, you just saved yourself from a droning. But to answer, is it excessive? I have control over SEAL Team 6. Is that excessive? I could have those guys come over to your house tonight and pretend you're Osama bin dead.
I'm scared.
Yes, Mr. President, we're all scared.
Good. That's how I like it. So watch it, America. Don't piss me off. If you are going to attack our way of life and suppress freedom, you're going to get droned. If you like to deal drugs, look out. Here comes a drone. If you're a talking head on Fox News, oh, watch it. Here comes a droning. If you hate national health care, droned. But you will still be covered, so silver lining.
I knew it.
Aunt Coulter, what are you doing here?
Nobody believed me. I told you all that he was a tyrant who wants to destroy the American people, and you all laughed. You said I was crazy. And now he's going to drone the country, except for the bad part, gays, liberals, and New York City.
Secret Service, take Aunt Coulter outside. I'm going to give her a droning.
This has been a special news conference by the President of the United States on his insane droning. Wow. Whoever would have thought this president would be worse than George W.
It's time for another story from the final edition's Big Book of Morally Improving Virtues. Tonight, The Tortoise and the Hare, an ancient and beloved tale which teaches us little, except possibly the value of organized sports. One day, long ago, a hare, which people confuse with rabbits but are actually related to the deer family, met a tortoise.
Gee, you're slow. So slow,
said the hare.
Old creepy, that's what you are. I'd like to see you in the 1,000 meters. What a joke,
chattered the hare, for hares tend to be harebrained and talk too much. Eventually, the tortoise got a word in edgewise.
Old creepy, huh? Let's race. We'll see who wins, hare face.
You're on. Who'll be the starter?
How about...
Yeah, who?
The fox.
Okay,
said the hare, and fetched the fox. The fox was familiar with animal races, and suggested they use the shoulder of a deserted stretch of Old County Road 31.
That way it's going to be easier in Old Torty, see?
Okay. Let's go.
Cool your jets, kiddo. Okay, Torty, up to the starting line. Come on, Torty, let me give you a lift.
Don't touch me.
Hey, no sweat. Slow but sure. All righty, both at the line. Ready, set, go!
The hare shot ahead and was around the curve and out of sight in seconds. The fox, knowing that the hare would probably take a nap somewhere along the course, and that the slow but steady tortoise was most likely to win, thus teaching us the virtues of steadiness and reliability, set off in a leisurely manner up the road. Imagine his surprise when he rounded the second curve, and there was the hare, toweling off at the finish line. Up scurried his buddy, Hank the Hedgehog, with a stopwatch.
Amazing time. Minute 44.8 seconds. Could be a record for this neck of the woods. Perhaps even the whole county.
Wow,
said the fox, looking admiringly at the hare.
We're going to have to work a little with you. Perhaps get you into the all-state small mammal trials.
Great.
Know something? You're very attractive,
said the fox.
Well, thanks, big fella,
said the hare, smiling in a pretty inviting way.
Women athletes,
said the fox, smiling back.
Doesn't matter what sport, when you guys get all sweated up, man, it drives me crazy.
So they found an abandoned badger's set just off the highway and went at it. Talk about the beast with two backs. They must have done it at least a dozen times, every which way from Sunday. Neither of them had ever had intra-species sex that fabulous with anyone. And the tortoise? Well, the tortoise took the rest of the day to get about 40 meters down the course, and finally, utterly exhausted, fell asleep on the shoulder of the highway. The fox found the little tortoise shell there the next morning. From it came quiet little tortoise tears.
Oh, come on, honey.
Did I forget to say the tortoise was a girl, too?
You did great. For a tortoise. Especially a girl tortoise.
Whispered the fox gently, for he was a soft-hearted fellow. To cheer her up, he took her to the abandoned badger set and did his best to show her a good time. Which didn't work out so well because tortoises are reptiles and don't really have vaginas. So instead...
Know what I'm going to do, Torty Baby?
Said the fox.
Organize special games. Just for you. To empower all tortoises.
The tortoise cheered up right away. Everyone in the forest pitched in, and the Speed Challenged Olympics were held the very next day. All the events were things that empowered tortoises, like synchronized paddling and shell-shooting, and...
Contestants, please, for the next event, imitating a rock.
The whole thing was a stunning success, and everyone lived happily ever after. Until the fox went off his meds and set the forest on fire. Not a single creature, including the fans at the Speed Challenged Olympics, survived. So actually, the moral of this story is, anthropomorphizing animals is a mug's game. Animals are animals. They don't exist in a moral universe. Okay? The end.
This episode of the Final Edition Radio Hour was performed by Darby Worley, Antu Chell, Barry Lank, Kevin Janis, Jen Dodd, Rob Gordon, Jeff Chrysler, and Tony Hendra. It was written by Barry Lank, Rob Gordon, Jeff Chrysler, and Tony Hendra. And here comes the pitch. Be sure to visit thefinaledition.com often, daily, regularly, frequently, oft times, over and over, recurrently, a number of times, time after time, for more sizzling satire with teeth. The Final Edition Radio Hour was produced by Jeff Chrysler and Tony Hendra and edited and engineered by Greg Russ. The Final Edition Radio Hour is a production of The Final Edition, LLC, copyright 2013.